This is an interview with Mrs. Paul Booth for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on the Rand School. It's being done by Mark Conley at Mrs. Booth's residence at 1200 Academy Drive. It is taking place on Thursday, November 21st? We'll go back.
21st,
and it's approximately 10 a.m. Okay, Mrs. Booth, would you please tell us a little bit about your background, your own and your family's background?
My family, or his father's family, were one of the founders of Hubbard and the early settlers. Their name was Clingan. And my mother died when I was born, and I was raised by my maternal grandparents, whose name were Camel, L.L. Camel, Lewis L. Camel. And both my grandmother and my grandfather, who raised me, had been school teachers all their life in this area. They taught in various places around this area, in Sharpsville and in Canfield, the old academy there. My grandfather and grandmother taught there. In those days, there were so many academies around, and the Rand School was one of them. And they were like a prep school today. And so many pupils who went to high schools around here and wanted to go to the big colleges in the East would come to these academies, which had the status of a prep school today, to complete their education. They would probably have 3 years in their own town and then come to Rand. That was not the case with me. They had trouble in the early days, just like they do today, between different people who ran the schools. And in Hubbard, they had a peculiar situation. There was one big building that housed all of grade schools and the high school. The grade schools occupied the main floor, and the eighth grade, which they had in those days, occupied the second floor, one room. Then the rest of the second floor was occupied by the high school. Well, the village owned the part of the building that housed the grade school, but the township owned the high school. They had a fight between the township and the village, and the village pupils out of the high school. I went 1 year to high school in Hubbard. And then the Board of Education sent all the pupils from the high school, we were locked out, to Rand, to school. That's how I came to go to Rand. But when I was taking my freshman year, I had a good teacher in math, and they taught such subjects as agriculture and botany, which they didn't have in Rand, so I never liked math, and I was afraid of the math teacher in Rand, so I took my credit in that, but I took my rest of my freshman year over, so I really went 4 years to Rand. Our Board of Education paid our tuition for 2 years. Then the high school room was open, they could go back to Hubbard, but most of the pupils from Hubbard who wanted to go to college and so forth continued and ran and graduated from there.
Do you think if you had not been forced out of the Hubbard High School, do you think you would have gone to Rayen anyway?
Probably not. I might have, but I don't know.
Well, could you talk a little bit about your father's occupation for a second?
Well, my father graduated from Rayen in 1894. And I don't know, on bad days when it was snowing, he probably came over in a horse and buggy in those days. But I know that on the good days, he bicycled from Hubbard to Rayen.
Now, when your father went to high school, was there a high school in Hubbard?
Yes. There were 3 years of high school in Hubbard. And he graduated from high school, and he went into the steel business. The grandfather who raised me, his brother, was James A. Camel, of the Steel and Tube. But my father went to work for the Republic, and down in the mill, to start with, he was night superintendent, and he learned the steel business from that up, and was sent by the Republic to Toledo, and then later as works manager, and then later to Chicago.
Okay.
When I was 7 years old, he remarried. And he ended up going to West. My great uncle, William Piggott, with a Judge Wilson from here, founded the steel business on the Pacific Coast. And that was the Pacific Coast Steel Company, which was later taken over by Bethlehem. And my father went to work for his brother-in-law as works manager and later vice president and president of the Pacific Coast Steel in Seattle.
Now, when you were going to high school in Hubbard, did your father ever hint at sending you to the Rayen School? Because why didn't he send you to the Rayen School originally?
He wasn't living here then.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay. Now, your second year there, after your second year there, you had to pay tuition.
Yes.
Was this a problem for your family, the cost of tuition?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell you that.
Okay, so you wouldn't even have an idea of what the tuition was?
I have no idea.
Okay. How would you compare the Rayen School to Hubbard High School?
Oh, there was no comparison whatsoever.
Okay, in what ways wasn't there a comparison?
Well, in Hubbard, they just had one great big room, and they had three tiny classrooms that didn't amount to. Most of the classes were conducted in the big study hall, which wasn't done at Rayen. And we only had three teachers, the superintendent of schools who taught a few classes, and two other teachers besides.
Okay. What had you heard about the Rayen School before you had entered it? Nothing?
I don't remember anything except my father had gone there, was told.
Uh-huh. What was your reaction when you first entered the school?
Well, I can describe the school, but I don't remember that much. We went on streetcar in those days. We also had some pupils, a couple of them from Sharon, Pennsylvania, who went with us. I know one particular girl who was going to Vassar College, and she came over on the streetcar with us, and we used to pick up some pupils from Coitsville. Those old streetcars went through Coitsville.
About how long did it take to get there by a streetcar?
I think a half hour in those days.
That's including all the stops?
Yes.
Okay. What was your impression of the student body when you entered Wayne?
Well, I was a very shy youngster, and I didn't make friends easily, and most of them I didn't know until I did, except the ones who came from Hubbard for quite a while. I was But it was such a different school.
About how many students came from Hubbard to go there? Any idea?
Oh, I don't remember. Okay. I'm no good at figures to remember.
Just an approximate. Was it, say, more than 50?
Oh, not that many. If I'd more apt to say 20.
Okay, fine. How many returned to Hubbard after the second year?
Oh, I don't think more than 12 probably stayed.
Okay. Would you say that the, from what I gather, would you say that the Hubbard students sort of stuck together at the Rayon School?
Yes, I think we did.
Uh-huh. And how were you received by the Rayon students?
Well, we were received all right. Would you like to know about Rayon in those early days?
Sure.
When you went into Rayon, you went up the stairs. There was a stairs there, and everyone was seated in a large auditorium, which was approximately 30 by 40 feet. They were two doors, two entrances in the front of the auditorium, and there was a, between those two doors, there was a platform. On that sat the man who was in charge. It was usually a man. I don't remember of a lady ever being in charge of the study hall. And we were all assigned seats. That is, all the classes were assigned seats in this big study hall. And there were six rows of seats. There was a center aisle that went up in front of the man who had charge. And then there were three aisles on each side. And of course, the aisles on the outside, the two aisles, that's not counting the two aisles on the outside. So there were six rows of seats. And everyone was assigned to a seat. And the one in charge of the study hall had a chart and knew who was sitting in the various seats, and so he could take the roll in the morning. And I don't know whether they have people to pick up students who don't come to school anymore like they used to or not, but if you were late or if you were absent, you always had to go into the side door, which is in that connecting building between the old Rayon and the Board of Education building, and on the first floor, and go to Mr. Herr's office. He was the assistant principal, and we always called him Daddy Herr, and he took the role, and no one seemed to be afraid of him. They liked him. But Mr. Edwin Miller was the principal, and he was a very dignified person and very precise, and everyone was sort of scared of him when he issued ultimatums. We usually had an opening ceremony in the morning before school of some sort. Sometimes we were celebrating some victory of the athletics, or it was some certain day. Sometimes we'd have a speaker for a short time, but it was probably about 45 minutes before the regular school started. And you went out to your classrooms, and those that didn't have a class would stay in the study hall. And those who were in the study hall and they wanted to go to the library, in those days they used the public library right across the street, that we didn't have a library in the school. Or if they had an appointment with one of the teachers, they had to sign out with whoever was in charge, sign out the time that they were leaving, and when they came back, sign in. So they knew where everyone was at the time. It's a pretty big job in these days to have some one person in charge of a big student body like that. But we had outstanding teachers in those days. Like Mrs. Carewer, who taught German, and she was a German, and Miss Thomas, who taught French, and she spent every summer in France in a home of French people. And she used to have, in her classes, I was a French major, and she used to have Frenchmen come and lecture to her classes when they were not in the first year, but in the upper classes. And we used to have, I guess they did in the German classes too, they'd have a meeting every month of all the students in a club. They called it the French club and the German club, and they would speak nothing but the language while they were in there. They weren't allowed to speak anything but the language.
In the classroom, were you allowed to speak English in the classroom itself?
Well, when you were a freshman, you could.
But say the upper division.
You were supposed to speak, but they didn't enforce it as much as they did in when you belonged to the club, I will say, as I recall.
What would they do if you spoke English in a meeting?
Well, no one tried to do it, as I recall.
Okay. How were the classes generally conducted, you know, at the Rand School? What was the usual method of teaching? You recall, can you describe it? What would the teacher do?
Well, he usually asked questions of the students, of the, it depend on what the subject was, but like history class, you were asked, and in, say, Latin, you had to the teacher asked questions of different ones and asked them on the whatever the lesson was.
Generally, how much time did you spend in homework per night?
Per night, did you say? Well, we did most of our studying in school. See, we had study periods, and we didn't have too much at home like they do today.
Do you speak French now fairly well?
Oh, I've sort of forgotten it. I can speak it a little bit, but I did take French in college, and with Frenchmen, I found my French was perfect under Miss Miriam Thomas, and in fact, I seem to be ahead of a lot of the other students because I'd taken from her.
Speaking of college, where did you go to college?
I went 2 years to the University of Washington in Seattle, and then I ended up in Kent. I took a year, in those days you could teach if you had 1 year in in those days, Kent was just a teacher's college. And almost all the students were women. There were very few men in Kent in those days.
What did you major in college?
Well, they didn't require you in those days to have a regular major like they do today, and I just took a general course. And I'd say that education that I majored in.
How well would you say you were prepared for college by the Rand School? Did you find it fairly easy?
Oh, yes.
So, how would you compare the quality of teachers that you had in college to, say, the teachers you had in the Rand School?
Well, I think that they were pretty well on a par.
Another thing, well, get back to high school. Living in Hubbard, did you find yourself sort of left out of the extracurricular activities of the Rand School because you lived so far away?
Well, they didn't have as many activities in those days as they did later on. In fact, they had very few all school dances and things like that. They were just little cliques that had their parties in their homes and things like that. They didn't have like they did later on, mm-hmm. like my children did.
Your children went to Rand?
No, I lived in Hubbard. They went to Hubbard.
Okay. There weren't that many activities. What did you do for, I don't know, say on a date or just to relax? What sort of activities did you get involved in?
You mean in connection with Rand?
Well, just in any way during your high school years. What did you do for fun?
Well, in those days they sent youngsters to dancing school, and I went to Bott's Dancing School. And that was one activity, and that was at night, and we usually had someone bring you home from that. And I ran around with people in Hubbard more. Of my social activities were in Hubbard. And we used to go with young people from Grove City College used to come over and take a bunch of us out, and we would go maybe come to Youngstown to a show and ride around the country, and but there'd be a big gang of us. We didn't go out alone. And that used to be, there were about four girlfriends of mine who had dates with these different ones from Grove City College. They had relatives who lived in Hubbard, and they came up.
Were there any sort of, any special rules that a student of rank, especially a woman student, had to abide by? Is there any sort of code they had to uphold that you recall?
Well, they were real strict in those days, and the youngsters were afraid to disobey their teachers. It wasn't like these days. They did do some things that youngsters like to do, like, as I recall, they had in between the two doors of the main study, there was a niche, and in that was a bust of somebody, I don't remember who it was, and then there were a row of them along the corridor, and they used to, some of the students would put wreaths around their necks and put a hat on one of them just for fun.
And how was this looked upon by the administration?
Well, I never found out what they really did to them for doing that. Some teachers were very strict. Everybody was afraid of Mrs. Peterson and Miss Elida Baldwin. There were certain teachers that they were afraid of, that they were scared of.
Generally, what was the student-teacher relationship? Was it a very friendly one on the whole, or was it reserved?
Well, again, it depended upon the teacher. Now, Miss Thomas was very friendly, and my history teachers were very friendly. Mr. Teer was always very friendly.
How did you look upon Mr. Miller? I know you said he was a very dignified sort of gentleman, but when you were in high school, what was your opinion of him?
Well, I never came in contact with him. See, the principal didn't teach any, and I was never sent in I was always a good little girl, and was never sent into his office for any reason. And when my husband, who taught in Rayen, the first 4 years we were married, Mr. Miller was still the principal.
And did your opinion change of him during that period? Did you see?
Well, I always thought he was very dignified, and I don't think he ever changed in that respect. There were several of the teachers who were still teaching there when my husband was teaching, that had been there when I went to school.
You mentioned when there were parties or whatever, they were usually promoted or put out by cliques, little cliques. What were these cliques usually based upon, by, say, the area in which a certain group lived?
I think so. I didn't know too much about the ones in Youngstown because I continued to go out with my friends in Hubbard because I was there at night. I never stayed in Youngstown. The only thing, we used to have some of the boys in our class were ushers in the theaters, local theaters. One was Frank Savage. He was Frank Zaltowski in those days. He changed his name. And he was, he worked for the Palace, and he used to give us girls tickets to go to the shows. He'd get so many free tickets, and he used to give us tickets.
Did you ever go to the shows during school time?
No, we went after school and were late, taking a later bus going home, that's all.
What sort of shows were at the Palace that you recall, that you had seen?
Oh, well, they were regular movies. They weren't so blood and thunder like they are these days, that's all.
What was your favorite?
Oh, I don't remember. Okay. That's too long ago.
I want to talk a little more about the discipline at Rayen. Did any of your friends received the wrath of the administration or teachers that you know of, and, or you yourself ever disciplined by the...
I can't recall. I will say that South High had started in those days, and it was quite a rivalry. We used to always go, had the big thing was a Thanksgiving football game, and was always between Rand and South.
What was your opinion of South High School?
Well, I didn't know anything about it except as a school. I just knew that we used to go to the big game on Thanksgiving. That was all. We never missed that. We usually had a date to go to it.
would you say there was a feeling of superiority among the Reagan School students as opposed to, say, South High?
Oh, yes, they thought they were better. And probably South High thought they were better.
On the day you graduated, you know, as you look back on your years at Rand, what sort of feelings did you have? You can recall. Or can you just describe your graduation day?
Well, I know we graduated in a theater. We had the graduation exercises in the theater because there wasn't a big enough room in Rand. We didn't have an auditorium in those days. So we used the theater, and we used the old theater up in the arcade. It was the biggest theater, and it was always used for the Rand graduations. They had stage shows there.
Was it an all-day ceremony, just about?
No.
Graduation?
It was in the morning, usually. The big thing was the baccalaureate, and they had it was in one of the churches. And they had different churches, different years. And I don't recall just which church that we had in, but they marched, and all the gals always got dressed up. They always got a new suit to wear for baccalaureate.
What was the general dress of a Rand student? What did you usually wear to school? And they say they got special dresses for graduation. What was the usual dress?
Well, we wore either skirts and blouses, or they didn't have such things as blue jeans, nor pants suits in those days. So it could be any kind of a dress. I mean, we used to wear middies, they called them. They had big sailor collars and a tie. We used to have midi blouses. And then we had dresses that were of the same style.
What about the boys? What did they generally wear?
Well, they usually wore suits.
Do you recall any student ever being sent home or punished or disciplined or for not having the appropriate dress?
No, there was no difficulty in that. Their parents made sure that they were dressed properly, so there was no trouble in that line.
Now, you said you graduated in 1918, right?
Right.
Can you recall the approximate number of students who graduated with you in that year?
but they still ran records around. They still have them, and they probably would tell you if you want to know. As I say, I'm not good at figures, and I don't remember that.
Would you say that most of the students who entered Ray in the same year as you, now this is not just the Hubbard students, but most of the students who entered Ray in school as freshmen with you, would you say most of them graduated or not?
I think most of them did. I never heard of ones dropping out when they started high school in those days. A lot of them did not continue after high school, but they most of them did, when they started high school, would graduate.
What one thing sticks out the most in your mind about the Ray School? When you think of the Ray School, what one thing comes to mind immediately?
Well, I liked my time at Rand very much. I always was very happy. That's all I can say.
There was not one thing, though, that you liked the most?
No.
Go to the other extreme. What one thing would you have liked to change if you, if you had the power to? What thing, one thing would you have changed about the school?
Well, it was so different than the Hubbard that, and so far advanced and above it, that there wasn't anything that I cared about changing.
Uh-huh. When you had your own children, did you ever contemplate sending them to the Ryan School?
No, because we had good schools in Hubbard. In fact, we lived right across from the school, from the grade school.
Uh-huh. Was your husband teaching somewhere else?
No, he was an attorney, and he had taken 1 year of law in University of Minnesota, and then he finished up at Youngstown Night School, and he went nights while he was teaching at Rayan, and then he graduated in law, and he went right into the law practice.
Do you have any regrets about not being able to send your children to the Rayan School?
No, because we had good schools in Hubbard
so
at that time.
There wasn't no remorse.
It didn't have the status that is, and everybody did send their children to their own schools, and they were all first grade high schools in those days, but in the early days, you see, as I said before, all of the, I found it when I was, we had our 50th anniversary, and I was on the committee to look up graduates. And I found that these people that came in just for 1 year, for their senior year, there was some from Liberty, some from Coatesville, some from Struthers, some from Poland, that they weren't particularly interested in the 50th anniversary graduating from Rayan because they had gone the 3 years to their own schools and they were more interested in that. So that's what we had in the early days. So many of them that graduated just came for their senior year from all these surrounding high schools.
Was that just to have the prestige of graduating from the Rayan School, you think?
No, if you wanted to graduate from high school and wanted to go on with your education, you had to come to Rand if you lived in this area. Or maybe some of them went to South in those days. See, there was just the two schools.
So a person graduating from Liberty would not be able to continue his education in college?
Well, it was only 3-year high school, you see.
Okay.
That's a reason that it was called in those days the Ran, which it isn't now.
How did, what effect did this have on the student body, these influx of students from all around in the whole area? Did it keep it pretty well divided, would you say?
Well, I think that in that way, they were in cliques, and they didn't, they didn't all get together. Except in your study hall is the only place they were all together, and unless you were in the same classes, you didn't become acquainted with them.
To your knowledge, how long was this going on? This going to your own high school for 3 years, then coming to the regular school. How long did that go on? To your knowledge?